Good morning, everyone. My name is Gary Osborne, and I'm the pastor of students here, and I get the opportunity to share the word with you this morning. It's kind of fun looking back. You'll see in your little bulletin just the class of 2008, and when I started volunteering here, I saw the first, the class of 1997 graduate. So it's been a while to see these different students kind of pass through the ministry, and it's just been a great joy to just be a part of their lives. Most of the time I spend my Sunday mornings out at Erie at the other campus out there. So it's really fun to be here with you guys this morning. As well to you guys in Erie, I say hello. It's great being co-laborers with you out there. It's just a wonderful opportunity that we get to do church in two locations. And it's just a great blessing to be a part of both those things. Well, this morning I'm going to share with you a message that's just kind of been percolating within me for the last few weeks, something that's been on my heart, and I've been really excited to share, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of fun, but also be challenged. And so you have this morning a bag of fun, as I would refer to it. Now, you don't get to open it yet, but this morning we're going to kind of go through and touch some things that maybe will help you remember the points we're trying to make. This is one of the things that I try to do from time to time with students to help them remember and hold on to the truths of the Word of God. So this morning we're going to bring it here as well and have that experience together. Kind of the big idea and the first thought I want you to kind of think of and hold on to is when you hear the word evangelism, what comes to mind? What are the thoughts that creep into your mind? For me, when I hear that word, I get a little nervous. I kind of, my palms start to sweat a little bit, especially when I hear it kind of from the pulpit. It's mean, okay, I'm supposed to go share my faith. That makes me really uncomfortable. You know, I think of like televangelists, and I don't know how to process that in a healthy way all the time. I think of guys on the street corner, you know, with a big bullhorn. I think of like the guy at CU who's out there screaming and yelling from time to time, and that makes me nervous. But then there are times I think of a guy like Billy Graham, and I know that even my wife's parents came to know the Lord through his ministry. And so all these different thoughts kind of go through my head. One of the things at Calvary we've done really well in the last few years is we've gone after this idea of bridge building and done a really good job with like ShareFest and working with the homeless communities and Heritage House. And we've done a lot of great things to connect with different people in our community. And that's been a great thing. But this morning, I want to continue to look at the book of Colossians and maybe go beyond bridge building and really take the next few steps in what it might look like to share our faith. Now the context that we're kind of coming from starts back in 3. Kind of 3:1, there's this changing point in Colossians, and you get this, since then, I've been raised with Christ. And since we've been raised with Christ, a couple of different things that we've been kind of commanded to. We leave kind of the old ways. We set our mind and our hearts on the things of above. And then like in 3:5, it talks about, you know, we set aside, we leave, you know, sexual immorality, impurities, all these different other things that we're supposed to abstain from and let go. And then later on in 12, it says, you know what, therefore put on, clothe yourself with love, with kindness, with gentleness. And so there's been some instructions that we've had to think about the last few weeks. And last week, Tom and Adrian both shared about, you know, what are Christian households supposed to live? How are we supposed to be different because of what Christ has done? And so that's my hope this morning as we think about sharing our faith, that it's not about this guilt idea, but it's about because what Christ has already done for us, what Jesus has done for you and me that really makes us want to share the hope that we have inside of us. And so that's kind of the context we're going to go to. Colossians 4 is going to be where we're going to camp in today. But before we go there, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 2:8, because this is a passage that really has been great for me to think about, and it really will help you understand where I'm coming from. It says this, "We loved you so much that we are delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." See, my hope and my desire for each and every one of us is that our relationships with others, the way we love and go after and pursue other people, that people become so dear for us, we love them so much, and because our lives have been changed for what Jesus did on the cross, that we cannot help but tell other people about the hope we have in Christ. That's what I want to instill in us this morning as a church body, is because of what Jesus did on the cross for me, what he did for you, is that, man, our lives need to be different, and we need to tell people about the hope. And not only the gospel, but our lives as well. And so this is a relational way to pursue other people. And so if you would open your Bibles with me to Colossians 4. This is our text, 4:2. I want to read it together. And if you don't know where Colossians is, it's in the New Testament. I like to think of a go eat popcorn, which is Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That helps me remember where the text is. And so that's an easy way to find it there. But 4, starting in verse 2, says this. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So my three big ideas this morning come right out of this text. And the first one is to move beyond bridge building. I want to say the first thing we need to do is pray. You see it three different times in this passage right here. It says, first, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The second time it shows up, it says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And then again in verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly. And so what Paul is doing here is he's making this point very intentional, that even in the context of sharing the hope that we have in Christ, prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. Now for me, when I start thinking about sharing my faith and telling people about the hope that I have in Christ, this is a very freeing idea. Because it's no longer what I do, it's no longer the things that I do, but it's giving it to God. God is in control. That's the idea, that God is in control of salvation. That what I do, it doesn't have any part in someone's salvific process. But it's all an act of God. And so when we step back and we start beginning with this step of praying, man, it's freeing, because it's no longer if I say the right thing, if I'm clever with the words that I use, if my story is going to connect with this person, but it's what God has already done and what God is doing in that person and what God has done on the cross already. And so this is where we want to start. And this is really, really important, is we want a prayer. I mean, it uses the language of devote yourselves to prayer, which I think is a great word to think about and to process. And devote means this: to be busily engaged in, persist in, or give consistent attention. That's a great picture, to give consistent attention. And when I think of my own life, there are things that I'm devoted to. I will confess it to you right now that I am devoted to college football. It's one of those sick things about me that if you spend enough time with me, I love college football. I love CU football. I'm sure there's very few other people in this room that know on September 18th, it's a Thursday night, CU's playing West Virginia, and I'm already trying to get tickets for it. I mean, this is just kind of how my mind thinks and what I get excited about, and this is something that I'm devoted to. It's a little sick. I know, you know, if this person beats this person, how it's going to affect them in the standings, and I get really excited about it. That's what Paul's trying to communicate here, is to devote yourselves to prayer. You know, he says, you know, pray consistently. Pray without ceasing. You know, Jesus' life was all about prayer, and he was God. You know, but you saw him all the time going away, withdrawing, being in a solitude place with the Lord. You know, this is what God did the night before his death. He prayed. This is what he did. He prayed. The text goes a little bit further. If you look, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, I'll be honest, most of the time, I'm pretty good at praying and asking God for the things. But it's very rare in the way I live that I stop and reflect and think about what is God is doing in through prayer. Now, one thing that has been really exciting that I just want to share with you, out at our Erie campus, we've had to do students just a little bit differently over the years. And so we've started this thing, WNT. We had TNT here in the Boulder campus, which is Tuesday night thing, and I was really creative and did Wednesday night thing, you know, out at Erie. So, but that we have this thing called Wednesday night thing, and one of the things that we have done is that we have taken time to pray every single week. You know, it started with that passage in Acts 2:42 where it says, devote yourselves, or they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And this has been one of the bookends that we have taken for this adventure, and we've prayed consistently every week. And I have Julia Sims to thank for that, because she said on that first night, when only two students showed up, she said, one of the things that we need to do is pray. And I think I have a picture up here. This was at Christmas, and I think there was about 30 or so. And at our last meeting a couple weeks ago, we had 47 students a part of that ministry. And it's really exciting, and you can clap, because here's the great thing, is we've seen 7 or 8 of them come to know the Lord. And it has been a joy to be a part of that, to just to be used by God in that capacity where God is changing the lives of students. And here's what's really happening, is these students are praying, and they're taking this verse to heart, and they're being watchful and thankful. And I tell you, there was this one girl who shared a story. She's like, I came this week because my friend invited me, and I'd been bullied at school, and I was an outcast, and I just was left out to the side, and I didn't know what to do. And one of these girls in our ministry saw this opportunity to reach out to this girl that she had been praying for, invited her to our group, and I'm like, she gets it. She understands that she devoted herself to prayer, and when God opened that door, she grabbed that kid, and then we came back, and it says, and be thankful. And we celebrated what God is doing in the lives of students. And that's what we do, is not only do we pray and we watch, but we also celebrate the work that God is doing in the lives of students. And so that is what I want to draw us to in this text, and this first idea of going beyond bridge building, is we want to devote ourselves to prayer. Pray that there would be a door that would open up so that we could proclaim the gospel. Pray that we'd proclaim the gospel clearly. But come back to this idea of praying. God is in control. You know, James says that the prayer of the righteous is both powerful and effective. Do you believe that? Do you believe your prayers matter? Because they do. Now, one of the things that I do with students, and if you want to open this bag, is I want to touch this point. I want you to walk away with holding on to this so you remember it. And so in your bag, you'll feel a little like, oh, bubble thing. So you can open up your bubbles. Take this out. Now be careful, especially out in Erie. We don't want to spill these everywhere. But this summer, as you're hanging outside, you're playing with your kids, you're playing with your grandkids, you have these bubbles. And feel free to blow them. And when you blow your bubbles, use this as an opportunity to pray. Pray for your unbelieving, not yet believing friends. Pray that there would be a door that would open up. Pray that you would have an opportunity to share the hope that you have. Pray that you could that you would proclaim the gospel clearly. So feel free all summer as you blow these bubbles, that this is just an opportunity of you giving them to the Lord, that you handing them over to the Lord and praying for them. So maybe there's someone right now that you want to pray for. Feel free to blow bubbles. And if you're bored during the service, just keep blowing bubbles. It won't really bother me. I'll think you're praying for someone else, and it'll make me feel good. Just put that lid on tight so we don't spill them everywhere here. But that's this idea, is we want to proclaim, we want to pray for others. Now, this isn't a hit list. This isn't something you say, man, I'm praying for you that you'd know. This is just out of relationship and love that we're just devoted to praying for those who don't know Jesus. So that's this first idea, is that if we're going to go beyond bridge building and sharing our faith, that we want to pray. The second idea is this. is that if we are going to go beyond bridge building, we need to portray. We need to live a life that is worthy of our Lord. There's this issue that sometimes in our lives that those who have been transformed, those who have been changed, those who have been raised with Christ, we don't always live like we've been raised with Christ. But we have, right? I mean, so back in 3:5, when it starts talking about these things that we struggle with, you know, we live our marriages differently. We do our expense reports differently. We handle our taxes differently. We manage our money differently. We abstain from pornography. These are the things that we live differently because Christ has changed our lives. And it's very, very important that we are different because of what Christ does. Look at Colossians again here in this verse. It says this: be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Be wise in the way you're acting towards those who don't know Jesus. Not yet believers, as I'd like to refer to them. The way you live is essential to how they perceive you. Now, there's a great little way that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, which I think is a great way of looking at how we should live. And in 2 Corinthians 5:20, and this is after he talks about, you know, that we've been reconciled, that we are a new creation. He throws this verse up there. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." I love that language. It resonates with my heart. It's we're his representatives. We're his delegates. Whatever we do it for the Lord. And when people see that, they associate that with the Lord. You know, we understand this. And an example that happened, we go on this Ironman trip with high school students. And this is a true story that happened. We were at the beach one day. Actually, it happened a couple years ago. Let me tell it this way. And I left for about an hour to go get lunch for everyone. And sometimes when I leave, mischievous things happen. And so I left, and a group of students and staff decided to bury a dumpster in the sand. Now, you need to understand, this dumpster is about 300 gallons. So it's huge. It's enormous. So they dug about a 6-foot deep hole. They placed this dumpster in it, and then they buried it. And when I came back, you know, everyone looking guilty as ever, just because they can't really take it. And I'm like, what happened? I look on the beach. I'm like, you guys buried a dumpster. This year we went back, and we started digging up this dumpster. And we tried to find it, and we found where it was, and we had about half of it uncovered. And then this lifeguard came, and you'll see this picture here, and you can see the lifeguard in the background. So you can see the top of the dumpster there. And so we get down, and we're digging out this dumpster, and the lifeguard says to us, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And one of our staff people, Thomas, says, "Look at this! We found a dumpster here! Can you believe it?" The lifeguard looks at us, and he had mentioned that he didn't want us digging too deep of holes. He goes, "I told you guys not to dig too deep of holes." But we're like, "We found a dumpster." He's like, "I know. That must be there for a reason." We're like, "There's a dumpster." He's like, "They must put it there for a reason." We're like, "This is how you dispose of your dumpsters, is you bury them when you're done with them?" And he's like, "It's there for a reason. Now bury it." Now, I tell you that story because all of us now have an image of that lifeguard, right? Or that beach. That lifeguard was an ambassador for that beach. And we're all thinking, that guy doesn't have it all up there. You know, who buries dumpsters? I mean, it didn't process, but he was an ambassador for that beach. And now when we think of that beach, we think of moron. Anyways, on the next trip, because we go 2 weeks in a row, we dug it up, flipped it, signed it, and then we reburied it. So we'll come back next year and try to dig it up again, just to kind of see it. But that's the image that we have as we think of ambassadors and the way we act as Christians. When we do something that is not consistent with the Lord, man, it's hard. It's hard for people to understand that our lives have truly been changed. And so everywhere we go and everything we do and the way we act, man, we're ambassadors. Not that we're perfect. That's not what it's about. But it's that we're trying to live for the Lord as best as we can. Bobby, who's our middle school director here, has been doing a great job lately out in the back of the property. And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but you should go take a look. It's this whole idea of community gardens. And this has been a great thing because for our church, we are now inviting the community to our property in something that is very a bolder thing to do, and having these community gardens and being a part of it. And it's been a great opportunity. There's some pictures of that. Oh, that's my little girl working out there, which was a great opportunity just for me to share with my girls why we're doing this. Another picture of kind of the plots, what it kind of looks like out there, and people will come and plant different vegetables in these garden things. You can see in this last little slide up here that these are the spots that have already been reserved. I think there's about 4 left out of the 16 that we're building. So people in our community are coming by. Our neighbors in our area are getting a part of this. And this has just been a great way for our church and for Bobby especially to be an ambassador for our community. And as people are walking their dogs and they're riding their kids by this area in the back of our property, they've been asking questions about why we're doing this. And Bobby has done an incredible job about sharing why we're doing this. And he's being an ambassador. He's living out his life relationally with what he's passionate about. He's taken it, and he's inviting people into it to do relationship and to do life and to share the hope that we have in Jesus. And so I don't know what ways that you can be, but I challenge you. Maybe it's with ShareFest. ShareFest is 2 weeks away. And this is a great opportunity that we go out in our community. There's a verse that we kind of have looked at ShareFest over the years. It's Matthew 5. Matthew 5, kind of 14 through 16, it says this. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And that's been the whole idea of ShareFest, is that people would see our good deeds so that we could proclaim the good news to them. Now, in your bag, if you want, you should have a little glow stick. And if you would grab this glow stick out, I'm going to have them turn down the lights in here. Now, be patient, though. Don't crack your stick quite yet. They're going to turn down the lights in here and also in Erie as well. You see, it's really dark. As dark as we can kind of make it in here. But when we kind of crack our sticks, it says, let your light shine before man. When you are ambassadors for God, let your light shine before men. Kind of fun to stand up here and to see all the glow. And you know, it's like that song that we learned in Sunday school, right? You know, don't hide it under a bushel, no. Or don't let Satan it out. But let your light shine. Hey, you guys are getting a little bit too excited. Turn back on the lights here. So just the glow sticks. Don't go too far yet. But this is just a way to hold and to touch and to say, I am called to be a light. I am told to be a light in my community, an ambassador. Now, if we go back to the text real quick in Colossians 4, the way we portray our lives, it says this. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. I think ShareFest is an incredible way to make the most of every opportunity. Not just on the day, but maybe leading up beforehand. Maybe it's school. Maybe in the office. Maybe when you go and work out, when you ask someone, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And when they ask you back, well, that's an opportunity to share. I'm going to go do this. Why are you doing this? Or maybe it's the week after you did ShareFest and someone says, what did you do this weekend? You say, I went and served in the community. See, that's the idea of making the most of every opportunity. we have different opportunities. It's not just ShareFest. ShareFest is a great event, but it's the everyday life. Now, I don't have this figured out perfectly, but at times we try in our lives. And for those of you who don't know, about 9 months ago, Angie and I went through some of the darkest hours of our life. And Angie was about 6 months pregnant, and we lost our son to cord death, which is kind of an anomaly, and we had to go through the whole labor process, and we were really thankful enough that we got to hold him for about 3 hours, and it was a really, really special time. Now, this child had a lot of meaning to us, and we worked through the pregnancy together, but, you know, he never really got to live here in this world, but we still wanted to have his life have meaning. And so we chose to do that by his name. And so we named him Joshua Dale, which means, and I think there's a little picture, but Joshua Dale, which is, means that the Lord is my salvation, even in the valley. And so with his name, we wanted to make the most of every opportunity that we could. And so when the people asked us, when we had an opportunity about to share what happened with our neighbors and our friends, that we wanted his name to speak towards what we truly believed as a family. And even in the darkest hours of our life, the Lord was still our salvation. And we know this to be true, and it was the hope, as sad and as hard as it was for us to go through this time, we still wanted to be a light, we still wanted to be an ambassador, we still wanted to speak about the hope that we had to others by just even his name. And so we want to pray, and we want to portray. And the last point that I have here this morning is, and it's in the text as well, beyond, is we want to proclaim the hope that we have as well. We want to be able to articulate and share the message of the gospel with those who don't know. You know, it says it a couple different times in the passage back in Colossians, if you want to go back there. It says, and pray that a door would be opened to, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. You know, 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I mean, there is a time that it's going to have to go beyond praying. It's going to have to go beyond portraying, that we are going to be able to have to share the hope that we have. That we are going to have to be able to talk about what Jesus has done. And so this is really important that you know the message of salvation, that you can articulate that I am a sinner, but Jesus died on the cross, and through his death and resurrection, I can have life and a life eternally with him if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, and then I can be saved. And you need to have some sort of way that you do this. Rick Howell said this thing that I love, that he said that, you know, you need to be able to make natural things spiritual and spiritual things natural as we talk with people. And I think that's such a great word for us to be able to have. Any conversation that we're having with someone, we need to be able to make it spiritual, and it needs to become very natural for us. And you see this throughout Jesus' ministry all the time, that he was great at doing this. If it's the 4 spiritual laws, use the 4 spiritual laws. You know, if it's dare to share, is gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, use that. If it's the Romans road, use that. If you are really good with the word of God, then you can use so many different ways to share about what Jesus has truly done in your lives. But be able to articulate it in conversation with people, the hope that you have. There's great little nuggets in there back in 4:6. It says this, it says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Now, I will admit with you, when I first really kind of got on fire for the Lord, I wanted to tell everyone I knew about Jesus, and especially those who were believing in other faiths. I remember in college, 2 Mormons who came up to me, and I looked at them, and I must have been like drooling, because I knew how to go after their theology in that would really poke holes into them. And I remember standing there in the middle of the Norland Quadrant at CU and talking to them about my faith, and I would go after point after point after point, and by the time they left, their theology was destroyed. And I walked away feeling pretty good about myself. Years later, I kind of reflected on that time, and man, did the Holy Spirit convict me, because I had no love in my heart for those guys. I didn't have any love for those guys. I just wanted to prove them wrong. And so that's why I think it's great. Let your conversation be full of grace. You know, going back to the Thessalonians passage, that we love people so much that we wanted to share our lives and the gospel of God as well. I mean, that's where it needs to come from, this love that we have for other people. And then it says, you know, let it be seasoned with salt. You know, salt in that time was so that, you know, it would be preserved, that it wouldn't be corrupt, that food wouldn't get corrupted, you know, that it would have this zing to it, you know, that when you ate something that had a little spite to it, a little bite to it, and that was really important. The same with when we share the gospel now, is that it shouldn't be corrupt and shouldn't be trying to be really fancy, but it just needs to be real and honest. You know, that it would be transforming because it's transformed our lives, and so it has that bite to it and that zing to it because it's done something inside of our hearts as well. You know, 1 Peter says this way, and this is what I want to encourage you with. It says this: but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know, always be ready to share the hope that you have. When it's full of grace and it's seasoned with salt, be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks. Now, some of you might not know a lot about the Word of God. You might not be able to, you know, be Josh McDowell or Lee Strobel. You might not have all the answers, but there's this great little hope in a passage that I kind of have clung on to at different times in John 9. And John 9 tells the story of Jesus, who kind of spits in the mud, right? And he takes these mud cakes and he puts them on the eyes of this blind man, and he tells the blind man to go and wash. And the blind man comes back and he can see. Now the Pharisees are all frustrated because it's on the Sabbath, and they're like, can you believe this sinner is doing this and what this is all about? And here's what is said. He says, you know what? They ask the man, who is this man that did this to you? And he's like, I don't know. I don't really know who he is, but this is what I do know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Your story is so important about how God has transformed your life. That needs to be how you share the faith. Because if God has truly transformed your life, you have a story. You don't need to have all the answers. Your life just needs to be a testimony of one time you were blind and what your life was like then. And now you can see. What a great thing to be able to share with people. And so in your bag, you kind of have this last little thing. And I like this one. I'm really excited about. This is a party popper. Now, be patient with me as well. Now, if you look at this party popper, it's a piece of plastic. It's very boring. If you never used it, it would be pretty worthless over time. But when you pull this string, something exciting happens, right? And so when you have the hope that you have inside of us, and if you just hold it inside of you and you don't tell it to other people, you don't share it with other people, it's pretty boring. But when you pull that string, when you begin to proclaim the truth that you have, exciting things happen. So together, and you're going to have to pull pretty hard, let's do it. One, pull the string. One, two, three. See, I told you we were going to have a little bit of fun this morning. But these are the three things I want you to remember. That you would pray, that you would portray, and that you would proclaim the hope that you have in Christ. And so this morning, as you're blowing bubbles, as you're looking at your glow sticks, as you're thinking about these party poppers, maybe at some point they will come back to you to remember, wow, my life needs to be a testimony about sharing what Christ has done in me. And imagine if us as a church really lived out this passage, really lived out these three ideas. Imagine how it would be different here. Imagine your friends and your peers. Imagine if just half of us brought someone to faith, were a part of someone's process, part of someone's journey this year. How different this place would be. Imagine if 1,200 people really were investing in living out the idea of praying for those who don't know Jesus, portraying a life to those outsiders, and proclaiming the hope that we have, what this place could look like. It might be like the WMT that went from, 2 to 47. I don't know. But this gets me excited inside of my heart to say, wow, God really might do some work in the lives of people. And this is a great passage that we can come back to and hold on to and pray, portray, and proclaim. Dream just a little bit of what God might do if we were obedient to this passage. Pray with me and we'll be done for this morning. God, I'm humbled by your word and just how exciting it truly can be. And so I pray this morning that as much fun as that we had and the different things that we got to do and experience, that your word would resonate inside of our hearts and that we would walk away different this morning. I pray that you would change us, that you would make us more like you, and that you would really put a burden on our heart for those who are not yet believers, God. God, would you impress on us that we need to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, that we need to be wise in the way that we act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity, and that we may proclaim the hope that we have in you so that someone might know what life is like with you. So Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you're my Lord and Savior and that you've transformed my life, and that you have spoken this morning. In your name, amen.